Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast. We're all about political cartoons, and today our topic is Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. As you all know, Trump had sex with porn star Stormy Daniels while his wife Melania was at home pregnant, and Trump later paid $130,000 in hush money to Stormy to keep her quiet about their tryst. Trump's attorney Michael Cohen arranged the payment and later turned on Trump, providing evidence to a grand jury in Manhattan that's expected to indict Trump any time now. We have three great cartoonist guests today. Pat Burns is best known for his cartoons in The New Yorker. He draws all kinds of gag cartoons for other magazines. He did a comic strip for years called Monkey House. He's an advertising illustrator. He's won a whole bunch of awards. Bob Engelhart was cartoonist for the Hartford Courant in Connecticut for 35 years. His cartoons have appeared everywhere, and he's won a bunch of awards, too. Bill Day drew for decades for the Memphis Commercial Appeal and the Detroit Free Press, and he has won a ton of awards. You guys have won so many awards. We've got lots of great cartoons to talk about. I'll describe the cartoons for people who are listening to the audio podcast and not seeing the art. And at the end, I've asked each of you to bring your three favorite Donald Trump cartoons, and I'll show you the most popular cartoon you've ever drawn while you've been syndicated by us. So welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
Bob, this is our first cartoon on Stormy Daniels, and this one is yours.
Yeah. I never heard of Stormy Daniels until the affair. And so I had to do a lot of research. I mean, a lot of research.
They enjoyed that research, I'm sure.
Oh, days and days of research.
Well, you can see that cartoonists kind of speak alike. Here's one from Schott in the Netherlands. Here's one by me. Nothing to see here. Here's one by Jos Collignon, also from Holland. Great minds think alike, huh?
And that's what they say. I think it's lazy minds.
Distraught husband says, just think, if Donald Trump could be indicted for misappropriating funds to pay hush money to a porn star he slept with while his wife was home with their newborn baby, what's to prevent that from happening to me? And the wife says,
me dear, and the Second Amendment.
Domestic violence sometimes it's a good thing, or at least the threat thereof.
I think you make your feelings about this clear. Frankly, I don't really care much about who Trump sleeps with, and I don't really care about him paying off Stormy Daniels. I appreciate that Michael Cohen went to jail for this payoff, and other people go to jail for similar things, but frankly, it's just hard for me to care. I like silliness of it.
Country is known for how well it cares for its rich. And I think it's important that we coddle the rich, because they are our overlords, and they should be able to get away with everything.
Well, very good. Here's one by Pat Bagley. Maybe that's what it means by end times. You know, Pat is the cartoonist in Salt Lake City. He draws a lot about Mormons in end times. It's interesting to me that conservatives don't really care about sex scandals, although they seem to be obsessed with sex in every other way.
They're totally into child pornography and perversion and all that stuff.
Well,
could you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean,
well, they're
totally into it.
They're absolutely obsessed with LGBTQ. It's like they think of nothing else.
I'm curious. It's a healthy curiosity.
Jill, this is one of yours.
Hey, here he is at the White House, our great illustrious leader, showing us what a jerk he is. So I thought I'd just put it on a banner for us.
You should put that by like the expressway, you know, off ramp.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it looked like one of those adult stores where you pull in and you get a few videos or something. That's what it looks like. Novelty.
That's great artwork, by the way.
Thanks.
Yes. White House. Bill, tell us about this one, the Brer Trump story. Trump says, no, don't throw me in that jail as Brer Rabbit being thrown into the briar patch.
Yeah, my take here is that Trump, he loves being the victim. He loves being the martyr. And so in this case,
and the spanking.
He can really enjoy being thrown in jail so his base can come to his defense and he can get good publicity out of it.
Well, he certainly does the fundraising off of it.
Yeah. So
being a victim is great for fundraising.
Oh yeah, you can make millions upon millions on this. So
that was my great point. Period of time that we're living through in America right now. I mean, this is so historic, and and precedent setting. And I mean, it's just amazing. People are going to study this period of time for hundreds of years.
You know, cartoonists were talking about it being a renaissance when Bill Clinton was having his sex scandal. What is it about sex scandals that make us think it's a renaissance in the good times for cartoonists?
Oh, it's not just a sex scandal. It's everything that has to do with Trump. Anything that'll put him in jail, I'm in favor of.
Although, frankly, you guys know that whenever you draw Trump, the cartoon just doesn't get printed.
I know. I'm drawing three cartoons a week, and I'm doing one to try to get published and two for my soul.
Well, that's a good plan, because we have to have a certain small percentage that the editors want in order to allow us to draw the rest that nobody sees.
That's right. You have to pay for your art.
Well, thank you for that, Bob. Put a little bit of food on the table. Here's one by John Darko. He's got horse face and Trump. Of course, Trump calls Stormy Daniels horse face. Stormy Daniels says,
"Hey, you paid $130,000 to get with this horse face, big boy."
And Trump, who is a horse's ass, says, "Nobody has more respect for women than Donald Trump."
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, just as an artist, I gotta contest that horse face notion that he brings out. She is actually roundish, almost to wide face, which is the opposite of a horse face. So, I mean, just aesthetically,
I agree, yeah. And I think the person with a real horse face is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She has a horse face.
She does have a horsey face.
And we don't mean that in a derogatory sense. It's just
it's a compliment. Well, said he loves horses.
Trump just loves to call people names. So in this case, she's a horse face. You know, he's having a good time.
He doesn't put much thought into the names. No, okay, Bob, well, this is one of yours. You've got Trump and Stormy in bed, and Trump says, "That was great, Stormy, but it wasn't $130,000 great."
I like to try to come up with cartoons and make me laugh at my own cartoons.
Well, this one is really about the logo on the bed, and the logo is really very slutty. You've got that two-headed eagle in there, too. You know that's Russia.
Yeah, I do.
He did have that kind of love affair with Putin.
Oh, brother, did he?
Trump and Uncle Sam in the indictments canoe going off the waterfall. Uncle Sam says, "It looks like we're in this together."
It's kind of a nuts and bolts cartoon.
Another one of yours, Battle of the Boobs, Big Boobs versus Tall Boob, Stormy versus Trump. You have this style of drawing Trump where he's got this bald spot on the side of his head. Tell us about that.
Well, it's there. If you notice in certain photos and in certain videos, he has this bald spot on the left side of his head. And I like to feature it as much as I can.
Well, very good. Here's one from Dave Granlund. It's Michael Cohen. He's standing in front of the weather chart saying, "Mar-a-Lago and vicinity forecast is stormy," pointing at Florida. Here's Jimmy Margulies. A couple evangelicals reading the newspaper. Trump after a Trump affair with porn star, a lawyer paid $130,000 hush money, and the evangelical says, "As long as she didn't have an abortion." That is really the attitude, I think.
Oh, yeah. You can do anything. As an evangelical, you'll support anyone who's against abortion. And it makes no difference who they are,
even if they paid for abortions.
Welcome to Georgia. But I think they're the backbone of the MAGA movement. So
I hate to get serious and philosophical, but they've taken one issue, and the whole notion of being a single issue voter has narrowed their moral scope so badly that they've really lost balance. And I think our society in general has narrowed its moral scope so much that they're only these issues, and we don't see the good and evil and the simple caring in so many other issues where we actually need it.
Well, his base will forgive him for anything,
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what he does.
Here's another one by Jimmy Margulies, the Donald Trump Presidential Library Adult Bookstore. This is similar to your White House one. In fact, this is a Yahtzee cartoon. We've probably seen a dozen of these, and they are so true. Here's Rick McKee with Stormy Daniel, giving a cut of the $130,000 hush money to a sleazy looking Cupid who looks like her pimp. Stormy says,
"This money is from Mr. Trump's lawyer's own pocket and not Mr. Trump's campaign funds, to not talk about the affair I didn't have with Mr. Trump. Here's your cut."
I think that's pretty cute. That's a very funny Cupid.
Yeah.
Here's Trump in jail. Perhaps this will happen soon. Yeah, he's saying, "What is that?" to the big, thuggish, threatening-looking cellmate who says, "A non-disclosure agreement."
non-disclosure agreement comes back to bite Trump. That's funny. And isn't that a great looking tattoo?
It is. That's a great looking piece of art, actually.
I wonder if Trump will have his security detail in prison. That's a question that's unanswered.
No, it's answered. He's going to have it in prison if he's in prison.
Oh, good. Then.
Okay. So here's our anonymous conservative cartoonist Rivers draws the Hindenburg blowing up. It's a banking crisis. And on the ground, someone says, hey, this would be a great time to arrest Trump. It looks like he doesn't care too much about this scandal.
Who is Rivers anyway? I mean, I saw the podcast with him and he's wearing a stupid mask. I mean, come on. This guy's got no courage. Yeah. All these other conservative cartoonists on the site who signed their names to it. Thank you.
Well, nice art anyway.
Yeah, I have no trouble with anybody being anonymous that wants to be anonymous. It's fine with me. You know, we've got, especially around the world, you know, we've got two cartoonists that were put into jail last year in our group. They should have been drawing anonymously.
They signed their name and they were very strong and courageous.
Yeah, but they're suffering.
Yeah, but this guy won't suffer. I mean, he's a big seller on your site, Daryl. You know what I mean?
Would you feel better about being anonymous if he was liberal?
No,
he's not. But he's not. You know,
I'd feel better about him being anonymous if there was a genuine threat, because there is no genuine threat.
Right.
You know, there's a history of artists drawing under pen names and people don't know or care who they are. There's a cartoonist in Austria who drew for decades under the name of a woman, and everybody thought he was a woman, and a competing paper outed him, and then people didn't care. He kept drawing as her and everybody forgot. That's cartoonist Martin Siskowitz, who you can see on our site, who also draws as Rachel Gold.
Well, Rachel Gold is a more interesting name than Siskowitz.
Well, Rachel Gold
didn't
is
take
a provocative
name either.
He picked a Jewish persona because of the Austrian guilt about their role in World War II, thinking that that would increase the interest and sympathy for the artist, which is
sympathizing. He was sympathizing with a people that were marginalized.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the correlates here, and I'm not finding them.
The correlate is that he was drawing anonymously, and it wasn't because of a threat.
Conservative,
we're the victim kind of thing. I'm the victim, so I got to be anonymous. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you know, I enjoy watching Rivers because his artwork is beautiful. So I don't agree with his politics, but I love looking at his art.
You guys want to be on a podcast with Rivers?
Not if he's going to wear a mask.
Only if I can wear a mask.
And you can all wear masks.
We'll all wear a mask.
I don't mind if you all wear a mask. That would be for a funny podcast.
It'd be anonymous. Yeah.
It shows your sympathy for Rivers.
If you're right.
All right. Here's a classic Steve Sack cartoon. I miss Steve Sack. He retired a year ago from drawing cartoons, and we miss him. And this is a wonderful cartoon. I think I'll make this the cover.
Everything that Sack did was great. Beautiful work. I just love his stuff.
Yeah, me too. And he's a great person on top of it.
Oh, yes. His sweetheart.
He doesn't work.
We love Steve Sack, and we miss him. All right. Here's one from Kevin Sires. Handcuffs with the presidential seal. That's a nice one.
Mm-hmm. That kind of works before and after. And during.
Here's Pat Bagley with all of these issues crushing in on Trump. Here is Taylor Jones. I just love Taylor Jones caricatures. And here's Trump talking to Clinton. Trump says, they keep hounding me and hounding me for stuff they said I did a very long time ago. And Clinton says, me too. I got to say, I don't care about either of their sex scandals. There's so many more important scandals that Trump should be tried for and perhaps will be soon.
Well, again, going back to Clinton wasn't impeached for the sex scandal. He's impeached for the perjury. And Trump is not facing the potential indictment for a sex scandal or even the hush money, but for the misappropriation of funds. So, let's zero in on the real issue. Because whataboutism loves to deflect. And the more we focus on what the real issue is, I think there's actually more potential for irony and humor.
I don't think we have cartoons that point out the misappropriation of funds.
It's a harder thing to point out.
That's not as much fun to draw.
Yeah. It's not. Do you want to draw boobs or do you want to draw misappropriation of funds? Yeah. It's not much of a choice.
The accountants are less sexy. Oh, case in point.
Here you go. Here's the Wexler drawing story. She says,
I already got my check for stimulus. I wonder why Trump didn't sign it.
And of course, Michael Cohen signed it. And Michael Cohen went to jail for paying hush money and hiding it. I can see why he's so upset that he's the guy that goes to jail for this. And Trump was directing him to do this. Might not. That doesn't seem entirely fair. Wouldn't he spend 9 months in jail for this?
Yeah, but he got disbarred too. That's the way he's make a living.
The way of making a living is taxi medallions in New York City.
Right.
He's worth millions.
Well, by the way, Ed Wexler's caricatures are gorgeous. They're just wonderful drawings.
Here's another Ed Wexler piece, the tiny hands in the handcuffs. This works a couple of ways. They joke about him having tiny hands because that indicates tiny other parts, but also quite easy for him to slip out of these handcuffs.
Yeah. That we can do a mushroom cartoon.
Yes. You know, it's a podcast. You got to explain this to people and young people who do not follow the news like this. Do you want to explain the mushroom reference?
Yeah, explain it to me too.
Stormy Daniels described Trump's Florida as resembling the mushroom Fantasia.
Right. Okay.
The little mushroom.
Trump's Florida.
Yes.
All right. Here's Ed Wexler again. The evangelicals are placing their hands on Trump, who has his head bowed. And it says, blessed are the hypocrites, for they are the givers of mulligans. Mm-hmm. And Trump says, watch the hair. That is good hair. They do give mulligans.
Many, many, many mulligans.
Here is John Darko. And he's got a couple guys in the bar. And one guy is looking at his brackets for the March Madness. And he says, my brackets are totally busted. I had Trump being indicted way before Putin. I think that's funny.
Yeah, that's one.
It's true. We expect Trump to be indicted. Surprised that Putin's indicted. And here's another nice March Madness cartoon from Dave Wammen. Trump is on TV with the lower third saying multiple Trump investigations. DA says charges likely. And they're writing in their March Madness Trump indictment pool. One of them says, who had Manhattan DA in that bracket? It's cute.
Yeah, that one could have worked even captionless but you'd have to pay more attention to the news, I guess.
And you know, that's really a problem. You know, we draw for newspapers, and most cartoonists are over 60 and most newspaper readers are over 65. And we follow the news, we read the newspapers, and young people do not. They get their news on TikTok. And I get the email over and over, explain the cartoon to me, my paper's due tomorrow. And what they don't understand is they don't understand the news around the cartoon. It's not the cartoon that they don't understand, it's they know what the news is. It's really tough for us to reach out to a different and younger audience when the whole nature of what we do depends on people knowing about the news that we're commenting on. You have any comments on that?
Well, I don't watch Fox News, but I will watch Bret Baier. I think Bret Baier is legit. And they do on Fox News have many stories that no one that's not covered on MSNBC or CNN. And so I watched Bret Baier to get a kind of a balance of what other stories are going on in the world today. I figured where I was going with this point, but it was a really good one.
What are we missing that from Fox News that we would be getting?
A different angle, a conservative angle. And sometimes the conservative angle makes me go, oh yeah, right. I never considered that. So that's why I watch it, to get that kind of reaction. Oh, really? Okay. I never thought of that. I can rethink it and then go back to my original opinion, but at least I'm being exposed to something that I'm not being exposed to on MSNBC, let's say, which I watch a lot of MSNBC. I watch a lot of all kinds of news, but the only conservative news I watch occasionally is Fox. I don't watch News Nation or these other, because they're predictable and I know what they're going to do for the most part. And their opinions, I don't watch their opinions. Their opinions are whack, man.
Okay, here's another Dave Wammen cartoon. Dave Wammen is a great cartoonist, and he's a Canadian cartoonist, but we call him an American cartoonist because if we called him Canadian, he would be just invisible to editors. But call him American, and he draws perfectly good American cartoons and makes him one of our most popular cartoonists. So here is our secretly Canadian cartoonist, Dave Wyland, and he's got Trump in jail with Putin. And it says, with the ICC issuing an arrest warrant for Putin and looming indictments for Trump, an idea for a dumb sitcom comes to mind. And Putin says, Donald, what did I tell you about your leaving your classified documents all over the floor?
No, it's garbage.
Hey, garbage. All right. Here's Trump giving a campaign speech from the police truck jail at his 2024 platform. That was by Adam Zinglis. Here's another Zinglis cartoon. Trump as Moses bringing the tablets down. Commandments 8 and 6, thou shalt not lie, down and take it from the fake news media. And thou shalt not commit adultery with anyone who's not a 10. That works. It's stormy for him that day. Bill, this is one of yours. Tell us about this one. Trump has a giant glove, and he says, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Senate trial, overwhelming evidence. This is one of your favorite Trump cartoons.
Well, yeah, I'm once again working on a small hand. But of course, the evidence is so large that it won't possibly fit because it's too big. So, but the contrast in small and big and the overwhelming evidence made for a good cartoon.
This is an O.J. Simpson metaphor.
Yeah.
The young people probably will not get the O.J. Simpson metaphor. We're talking to our 65-year-old audience. Well, very nice
cartoon. Over 50, at least.
And he's got QAnon shoes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Power shoes. I like that.
Yeah, look, that's his readership.
Yeah, we have Trump. He's in the nature of a sweater, and the thread has been pulled out, and he's all coming apart thready. Tell us about this one.
It was just right after he lost the election, and just wondering if it was all falling apart for him, and I was enjoy watching it. So,
I just very good.
Did the youth thread.
And here he is popping out in the Bible, but you see his little devil's tail coming out of the Bible too. And it's a photo op. Tell us about this.
Oh, the hypocrisy of this guy. And yet he walked across the street and pulled out a Bible, which he holds upside down, in fact. Yeah. You know, and then she'll hold up the Bible as if he was a promoter of the Holy Bible. And just a photo op. It's, you know, another one of his disgusting antics.
You know, it works for him.
Oh, I'm sure it did. You know, people are paying attention to who he is.
Okay, and I have included the most popular cartoon that you have ever drawn in your many years with us. Your most popular cartoon, most reprinted cartoon in 20 years. Tell us what's going on with this Memorial Day cartoon.
Well, it's just America weeping over the loss of their great soldiers that died in the war. So all the wars.
You know, this is by far your most popular cartoon. You want to speak a little bit to that? Why would this be by far your most popular cartoon?
Well, it's, you know, it would touch both conservatives and liberals that who have family and fathers and grandfathers who have fought in wars, great grandfathers have fought in earlier wars. You know, it speaks to patriotism of America.
It does. And it certainly was popular. So congratulations on this one.
No, thanks. I didn't know that, by the way. I didn't know how popular it was, you know. You know, as cartoonists, we send our cartoons out and I don't know, that we just never hear back from what happens. You know,
you just shoot an audience, you never get it out there
and that's it, you know?
Yeah. That's why in the end, you have to draw for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do get plenty of mail from people who are mad at us, but
that's nice.
Not that much supportive mail or compliments.
That's always been the case.
Bob.
Yeah.
You sent us three cartoons you wanted to talk about. Here's President Biden in a foxhole in Ukraine. And the Ukraine guy is surprised saying President Biden. So tell us about this one.
Well, actually, it's based on an old cartoon from when Roosevelt was president during World War II.
Oh, I remember that one.
And Eleanor Roosevelt, there was a coal strike. And I don't remember it. I remember seeing it in the book. there was a coal strike, and I think Eleanor Roosevelt visited coal mines to assuage the workers. And there was a cartoon of a guy working in the coal mine. He turns around, and there's a woman standing. She says, Mrs. Roosevelt? So I thought of that cartoon when I started drawing this. And I don't remember the name of the cartoonist who did it. It was back in 1939 or something like that.
Okay, here's another one you brought us to talk about. You've got the Trump baby balloon that we're all familiar with, and he's flying up in the air, and it says a Chinese spy balloon is spotted over Montana. Okay, so What is the relationship between the Trump baby balloon and the Chinese spy balloon?
Well, the relationship is between Trump and the Chinese. He has cozied up to him in the past. I figured this idea just kind of popped into my mind when I read about a spy balloon over in Montana. I thought, oh, yeah, Trump. Put Trump in there. And I love this balloon anyway.
So it's not that he's a floating threat over the United States and that he should have been shot down earlier.
You can say that if you want. You can say that. I'm open for any interpretation.
Okay. I went to a convention where they had this balloon. It was really quite big and cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's your last one you wanted to talk about. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she is in the psychiatrist's office lying on the couch. Psychiatrist is jumping out the window either to get away or to end all this madness. And Marjorie Taylor Greene says, and here's another thing.
Yeah, I like using her initials with her name on the label, empty, as an empty mind, empty soul, empty heart, empty green. I like drawing cartoons like this that show a before and after and a during. You can see by us that the psychiatrist has been listening and he can't take anymore. He jumps out the window.
So, is he committing suicide or is he just getting away?
I don't know. You have to ask the psychiatrist.
There you go. And this is your most popular cartoon ever, again, by a wide margin. You've got the man proposing to the woman. Instead of giving her a ring, he's giving her a gas can. And he says, will you marry me? The point being that gas is more valuable than a diamond ring.
I have to confess, this cartoon, I drew this cartoon to get it published in the newspaper. I was looking at
So you're a little cynical about this one.
I was looking at all the cartoons that are being published and the most popular and so on. I thought, I got to come up with something that's not going to be offensive to anybody.
Did you draw an expensive eggs cartoon?
No, I did not.
You know, those are by far the most popular cartoons recently.
Yeah, but I get my eggs from Aldi. So yeah, it's cheap.
The most popular cartoon this past week up through yesterday was a cart of groceries in space circling the Earth, implying that the price is high for groceries.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, do you have anything to say about the vast difference between what cartoonists want to draw and what newspapers want to print? I mean, we have quite a supply and demand issue.
Well, I think most cartoonists have tremendous imagination and can draw anything. So it's a catalog of what you want to draw and what serves your soul and what you want to get published. And then you have your reputation as a cartoonist. People expect a certain thing from you as a cartoonist. People that have been watching you over the years anyway. People over 65.
What do you think about this, Bill? I mean, you draw a whole lot of cartoons that you surely know editors aren't going to print at the time you draw them. Trump cartoons, lots of gun control cartoons that aren't going to get printed.
Yeah, I don't worry about getting printed, actually, Daryl. I mean, I'm sure that you're concerned about it, but, you know, I grew up, I was in college during the Vietnam War. And so I was greatly affected by cartoons that had a message. And I was very influenced by Don Wright, Herb Bloch, and Paul Conrad, of all of them, and many more, but especially them. And when I was becoming a cartoonist, I loved the fact that they had something to say. And so I tend to think of cartoons as, what's the message? What's the value of what I'm going to draw, and how will it affect people, and how will it help change, you know, things that need to be changed. So that's,
well, part of that is to change things, you got to get people to see your cartoon.
Yeah, well, I can't help that if newspapers have evolved and now they're so worried about getting canceled because a cartoon offended somebody or someone, and so now newspapers are just running afraid, constantly afraid about running anything that's controversial.
Do you ever sugarcoat anything to try to slip a message past?
No, I just try to be myself. It's like Bob was saying, you know, we have a following. People expect us to do. And if I started doing silly cartoons, that, you know, people would say, what's wrong with Bill? So that's not who I am.
One of the things I always impressed me about Steve Sack is that his drawings were just so cute and sweet and charming, and sometimes they were just filled with venom at the same time, but it just looked so sweet. And I think that probably squeezed a whole lot of venom past editors that wouldn't have otherwise accepted that in another style.
Yeah, you can do all you want to sneak stuff by people. And that is a worthy cause to try and slip under people's radar and get them to think of something. And go, huh. You know, just like Bob was saying about, you know, sometimes you see something on Fox News and makes you go, oh, there's a different perspective. Anything you can do to get people to pay attention to something that maybe they weren't thinking before, it is good. That said, there's only so much you can do. And if you try to be so innocuous that you're going to get your, I'm going to get my face out there, then your message isn't doing any work. So there can be a balance to build trust with things that are less challenging. And so that maybe when you do have something that's going to be a punch in the face, people will stand there and take it. But without cartoonists being embedded in newspapers so much like they were, that's a harder thing to do, to build that kind of relationship. So we do have a challenge ahead of us.
Years ago, there used to be cartoonists who had jobs at newspapers, and they would have each of their cartoons appear in the newspaper. They could build a relationship with the readers.
And we were doing five a week, and we could piss people off on Tuesday, but make them love us on Wednesday, and make them think on Thursday, and piss them off again on Friday. And, I mean, we had a whole week to run the gamut of emotions and opinions.
Yeah. Well, now that editors are looking at 25 cartoons a day and picking the one that's not going to get angry letters, that's cute and funny, it's a tough competitive environment, and the cartoons are treated as though they're fungible, you know, like wheat. You might as well get in here, you might as well get it there. And I don't think the editors get to know the cartoonists. One of the things I'm trying to do with this podcast is get the editors to meet the cartoonists, get a sense of who they are as real people and where they're coming from. I think that's important. That's one of my goals here.
Yeah, it's very worthwhile, because otherwise we're stuck in this transactional mentality that is basically death.
I have a message for newspaper editors who are watching this podcast, and it is, we're on your side.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Pat, these are the three cartoons you sent me to talk about. Here you have the January 6th protesters looking like the Iwo Jima Memorial, raising their Trump flag. It says, "Remember this day forever, Donald J. Trump, January 6th, 2021. Tell us about this one.
Well, notice that they are raising their Trump flag and using it to beat a cop who's lying prostrate on the ground. And this was an actual quote. This was Trump's actual quote to call the riot off. And he had to celebrate it at the same time. And a lot of people still regard January 6th as a holy day in American culture. And those people are, I don't know really a nice way to phrase it, but they do have a twisted perspective. And I just thought presenting that starkly and with the opposition between the quote and our noble remembrance of Iwo Jima, might reframe it enough that people would say, yeah, maybe this wasn't so hot.
Well, I think that's very nice. I like this cartoon. Here's another one. You've got this, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, Republican elephant sitting in front of a giant shadow of Trump.
You just described the point. That's their regular go-to. No matter what Trump does, they do not see it. We've had many cartoons make the same point today, and I'm sure that we will have many more, because this pattern is not likely to break. Like, people will just pitch their souls out the window. I mean, what does it profit a man that he should gain the entire world and lose his soul? Well, we got a lot of people that are trying to figure that out and looking for that profit and losing their souls. So it would be nice to see it stop, but I don't see it happening soon.
And here is your last one. You've got Biden as an apple and Trump as an orange, and you cannot compare apples and oranges.
This is a response to the whataboutism. This came out right after Biden said, whoops, I got a few straying classified documents myself, in which he found himself. He had his lawyers go in and rummage everything he had from, what is it, 4 or 5 decades of being in Washington, and found some stuff, said, whoops, we better get this taken care of. And so one did things the right way, and there are oversights, and the oversight is not the problem. It's the cover-up that's the problem, and hence the difference between apples and oranges.
Well, gentlemen, We just went through our last cartoon, and I thought there were a bunch of great ones, and it was fun to focus on you guys.
I would say to anybody out there, read newspapers. Read newspapers more than just get things on TV. Because if you look way down at the bottom of the article, you can get details that you don't get otherwise.
Yeah, reading a newspaper is like reading a catalog. You turn the page, you see things you like, things you don't like, things you're confronted with that you don't want to be confronted with. You know, it opens your mind.
Very good.
I just wish more people would read them. I have children that I send my cartoons to them via email, and they don't know what I'm talking about because they don't read a newspaper. So, I mean, I'm not even understood by my own children sometimes. But yeah, gotta read newspapers. Luckily, though, I must say that I now work for a publication called FloridaPolitics.com, and I have an editor-publisher that agrees with cartoons that have a message. And so he really likes my cartoons. I don't even think he likes my cartoons. He likes being controversial. That's what he likes. And so I'm that. So, yeah. And I really do needle Tallahassee, the politicians in Tallahassee, because most of my cartoons are about Florida. I needle those guys, and he'd love to be needling those guys because they're such bozos. I mean, they're truly out of this realm of the right wing. They're so far to the right now. We're passing laws that are totally unconstitutional, but they'll pass. They'll pass them because, you know, DeSantis likes him. So,
one reason I hope that DeSantis doesn't go anywhere is because I still cannot caricature him well. That would be a hardship.
I haven't drawn him yet. I have not drawn Ron DeSanctimonious yet.
Well, what you got to do is come up with a version of DeSantis that doesn't look so much like him. It becomes your version of who he is. Like I can remember, like Doug Marlett drew Reagan, right? Looked nothing like Reagan, but he always drew Reagan the same way. And I knew that was Reagan because that's what Doug did. So that's what I do with DeSantis. I just draw what I draw. Like, I exaggerate his top lip more than I should, but that's what I do. So,
okay, gentlemen.
Just a value.
We'll do a DeSantis podcast before too long.
Okay. Do a DeSantis caricature webinar. How to cancer his soullessness on paper.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining the Kegelcast today. And thanks, everyone. Remember to subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast. Go to kegel.com to see all the cartoons and the latest Kegelcast. And be sure to watch next week. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yep. I do.